You are listening to Clearly Connected, a podcast that inspires new ways to reconnect to ourselves, to others, and to our natural environment in a world where so many of us are disconnected. I'm your host, Carrie Doan. I'm a life coach, an entrepreneur, an advocate for change, and a believer in all things possible. Today, I am excited to bring my guest on, executive coach Eric Michael, to discuss what it means to attract, open to, and receive a life of abundance. We believe it's not just for the privileged, and we discuss what holds most people back from creating a richly rewarding life. I'm so glad you're here to join us as we open to an abundant perspective of more than enough and move closer to a more deeply connected way of living. Welcome back, everyone. Today, I am really excited about this topic because it's something that I have wanted to dive into for a long time. And it's around the word abundance. This word has captivated me for years. And the more that I explore it, the more I've understood just how much prosperity we have access to within ourselves and the outside world. It's my hope that through this conversation, you'll walk away with a sense of optimism and faith that you can experience so much more in your life as you leave lack behind. So to join me in this discussion is a friend and executive coach, Eric Michael. And a little bit about my guest before we dive in today. Eric is an executive coach who supports his clients to get to the next level in their careers by developing their personal brand and identifying their current goals. He's passionate about helping people experience aha moments and the discussions that help us figure out and understand our best selves. So Eric, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. For having me. I'm excited to be here. So.
Yeah, it's exciting because, you know, when we met, I don't know, a month or two ago, and we came upon this common thread of abundance, I thought immediately, like, oh, I want to have this conversation because this word, it's gaining more traction now, I think, in our culture, but it's also a little bit mysterious. And so I've had this desire to really unpack it with someone. And I know that you have some good insights and thoughts around this. It's a pleasure to have you here. And I guess let me start by asking you, what does that word abundance mean to you personally?
So when I think of the word abundance, I start thinking of this very vague concept. I think when you hear this from a lot of people out there, it's like, all right, well, it's this concept that we've got, you know, unlimited access to really kind of making ourselves, you know, fulfilled, making ourselves successful, and really kind of getting us to the next place in our lives. It is a really vague concept, though. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think there's definitely a spiritual component to it. It's an interesting topic that I love to talk about.
Yeah, it is. And I think we'll get into the nuts and bolts of it as the conversation goes on. But I think for me, it represents this concept of like, I don't really care for the word wealth so much, but like that there is more than enough, not just resources, but like capacity within ourselves to accomplish the things that we set out to do, amongst other things. So it'll be fun to kind of piece that apart a little bit. And before we do that, I'm going to ask you what I ask all my guests, which is if you don't mind to share a little bit of your story and your journey toward embracing this mindset and concept in your life.
Yeah, so when I start thinking about abundance, I actually kind of think about most of my life, I knew that this concept was there. In a way, I've kind of lived my life towards that concept. But the reality of it is, it wasn't until this last year I ended up getting really sick to the point where I had to go to the hospital a couple times. And it was a very scary moment. I think that second time that I was in the hospital and came out, All I can remember was being in the shower, because the hot shower is the only thing that really gave me relief, and my nose was bleeding, and you could just kind of imagine that sight of, you know, hyperventilation and just the scene of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really thought maybe that was it for me, mm-hmm. which is a really scary thought. Mm-hmm. And I remember that night, that really brought me to my knees, and I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
That next day I woke up, and I think I did have this like aha moment of, I am just grateful to be here. I was still really sick and going through a lot, but I thought in my life, like, all right, I can do this and I can get through this. And I think that was a really big aha moment when I started thinking about all the things that I was grateful for in my life. And I think through that process of gratitude, I started to learn how to have more abundance in my life, which is really something, you know, I think awful that happened to me, but I was able to really gain a lot of meaning out of it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm just grateful for so much, more so than I was before I went through that process of just, you know, thinking that was it.
Yeah. So it sounds like you had this like kind of brush with death in a way, right? Where it was, you were questioning whether you're going to make it through COVID, and that perhaps created this new appreciation for the life in the days that you did have, which then opens up, you know, expanded awareness around what matters to you or what you do have to actually be grateful for. Would you say that that's kind of what the progression was?
Yeah. And I'll be honest though, it was a really hard road and a hard recovery coming off of that. And I love to work out, I love to run, that type of thing. And I couldn't walk 50 yards without pretty much collapsing. And so it was such a challenge to continue to tell myself to, all right, Eric, like, you got to get up the next day and push harder, you know, and go further, because the challenges just seemed kind of insurmountable at the mm-hmm. time. But I kept thinking in my head, like, all right, each morning I'd wake up and say, okay, what am I grateful for? You know, what's the meaning around this? And then how can I push through it? And I think mm-hmm. that is where I got into a better place. But I think it's just even a mindset shift that I had of like, all right, you know, if I can get through this, you know, I can get through anything and I can figure things out. And so that's where I think my mindset has really shifted. And it was a very eye-opening experience for me.
Yeah. I hear this often with people who either hit some kind of rock bottom or they come close to death in a certain way, or their mortality. And it has this ability to just, like I said earlier, kind of tune you in to what is here, what you can appreciate. And I think that is so much the key of opening up to this shift in the abundant mindset. So one of the things that you said is, you know, like you, it sounds like you made this conscious decision to choose gratitude, to say what is here versus what isn't here. And that's the opposite of scarcity, right? So yeah. Maybe let's talk for a minute about what are the markers or the ways that people communicate when they're in more of a position of scarcity.
Yeah, so even though I was forcing myself to focus on gratitude each day, it became more and more challenging to do that, just because with the condition I was in, breathing, it affected my breathing. And I think even in my own head, it was really hard to focus back into that gratitude space. Mm-hmm. So it took a lot of work to, I mean, I had to get a therapist, which I'm a man, so like, getting therapy isn't a popular decision, but
stigma, yeah.
But I understood that in my own head, I was not going to be able to get back into a really healthy space and be where I want to be without that. So I got help, and I continued to push myself. But I think these things happen to us and they kind of knock us into scarcity. So whether it's an illness or a traumatic event, or maybe it's a relationship with somebody that's been abusive, or, you know, you're in a situation where, you know, you just feel constricted and that there's no way out. And I feel like those types of things, when you start to feel alone, that's when you're in the position of scarcity. Because I think even when I was sick, I remember thinking that I'm the only person in the entire world going through this. No one could possibly understand how I feel. And it wasn't until I started jumping out of that, saying, okay, well, you know, I got to figure out how to get into a better headspace. I've got to figure out, you know, the things that are important to me. And I've got to understand that there are things in my life that I'm grateful for. And I was able to shift that focus, and I think that really helped me get into that more abundant mindset. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Well, and as you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, like, scarcity, it does. It creates that sense of, like, there's not enough, and therefore I need to either control or constrict something or compete for whatever it is. And it seems like either when you can arrive at gratitude, or you can come to see your life differently, change that focus and perspective, that's where you can access that more, right? And then you see what you're capable of. Like you said, in that experience, you realize, like, oh, if I can get through this, what else can I get through? It opens up that world of possibility again, to where you can open and then, you know, receive something else, that, or trust that there's more.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I love kind of unpacking even like the psychology around this. And, you know, you said that sometimes there, or oftentimes, would you say there is something that triggers the shift in people, or is it, can even somebody who's just, I don't know, in their day-to-day normal life, consciously choose it? Like, how, what tool or resource would you say, outside of like a traumatic experience, could somebody utilize to think this way or to approach life this way?
Yeah, so I think no matter where we're at in life, we all face these very like human experiences that can be very challenging and very difficult. And a lot of times what we do in our own head is we start thinking about, you know, the past or the mistakes that we made. We start to worry, or, you know, we start thinking about the future and we start to, you know, second guess ourselves, and we start thinking in a headspace of that. And I think what the whole idea of focusing in on gratitude is that it really kind of, it grounds us in the present. And, you know, that I think that shift from worry and anxiety to like, all right, I want to sit down and consciously think of, how do I think about gratitude? How do I feel gratitude? And how do I express gratitude?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you start that thought process, your mind starts to shift into more of a positive frame.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really getting yourself into a space where you're able to do that. And sometimes it's tough. And sometimes you're in a situation where, you know, there's conflict in our lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're in a place where you can't really confront it. You can't really let it go. And so that can be a challenge as well. So it's like, all right, well, how do I, you know, create strategies to be able to get in a good headspace around that? You know, for me, it's, you know, meditation, yoga, journaling, those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, even when I was going through this whole experience this last year, you know, I needed to reach out and get help from somebody else.
That's what I was just thinking, is like you were saying earlier about the scarcity part. I think part of that is it comes from an insecure place, right? Or like a vulnerable place where you feel like you don't have control, you're all alone. And so to me, along with those tools and practices of self-care, finding people to connect with, to support you, to just be with you in daily life, right?
Yeah.
That to me is the greatest way to mitigate this sense of isolation, or that I'm cut off, or I got to do it all on my own.
Absolutely. And I think too, just taking an inventory of when you're in that community, is it the right people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times we're around in other people that trigger us into these places where we start feeling insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to really tell ourselves, are we around the right people? And if it's something we can't control as far as being around certain people, are there boundaries we can create? And both those things of, or even just trying to figure that out in general, it takes a lot of work and it takes effort and it can be scary. But yeah. I'll tell you, that's, you know, having the right people around you and, you know, creating those boundaries, that's kind of, that's some of the first step of the work that you would mm-hmm. put into it.
Yeah. And I guess I'm wondering, like, if someone's thinking, well, how do I know if they're the right people? Because I've had people ask me this, like discerning who are the right ones. What would be like some of the signs that you would say is like, there are to pay attention to, or that you would know?
Well, in my opinion, it's really the individuals that make you feel a sense of self-worth. And it's avoiding, and like I said, creating boundaries with the individuals that either trigger you or make you feel like you're not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be for whatever reason. And maybe there's more to that. Maybe there's reasons that you feel that way. And maybe that's what you need to explore and, you know, figure out how to overcome. But I think at the end of the day, it's saying, all right, who are the people around me that make me feel good about myself, who help me make good decisions on where I'm taking my life and are supportive of that, versus, you know, individuals in your life saying, you know, you're not good enough, or the path that you're taking isn't the right path to take.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has their own opinion, and a lot of people like to express their opinion onto others. I mean, that's just kind of what we do as people. And it's just finding, you know, the right group to help support you in the direction that you want to go.
Yes, 100%. And I would add to that, like, people who you feel like you can be yourself with, like you don't have to pretend, you don't have to wear a mask, people who inspire you, who support your decisions that are right for you. Essentially, that's saying like, I trust that you know what's best for you. I don't need to tell you if you're right or wrong, or my opinion about your direction. So yeah. I think you're right. That is key. People who are maybe tracking with where you're headed. And can put wind in your sails along the way. So I want to switch gears for a second and talk about the idea of competition versus collaboration. Because I personally think that our society currently is structured more in a competitive way.
Yeah.
Right? Like I have to push really far ahead to attain success and to come out on top. And that will be at the expense of somebody else. There's a winner and a loser.
Yeah.
And I think that that is rooted in scarcity. And so let's talk about that, because I remember you had some thoughts around capitalism and how we can kind of see this play out in our culture and maybe what we could do to shift it to a more collaborative
Yeah.
society.
Well, I think more today than ever, our culture is really rooted in the concept of supply and demand. And I guess this is just the economics of just the world in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But what our culture and these marketing executives have gotten really in tune with is being able to really speak to us in a way where it creates scarcity. So it's really creating that demand. And so you see it on social media every day. You know, they start putting these images of individuals who have these luxury cars and these big houses and these perfect relationships. And, you know, what it does is it starts to make us feel like, okay, well, you know, maybe I'm not good enough, or I don't have a good enough relationship, or I don't have a good enough house or car or things. And so it creates this scarce environment where it's like, all right, like I need to get these things and I need to compete to get there. And the reality of, you know, being fulfilled and having abundance in your life, you start to realize that it isn't about those things. It's not about, you know, the way the culture's speaking to us. We have our own core values, and, you know, exploring that and figuring out like the things that are truly important to us and focusing on those things and going after them. Those are the things that are going to make you feel fulfilled. We all kind of deep down inside know that, but we're just conditioned on a regular basis with the media and everything else on, you know, pick a side. You've got to have an opinion about this. And the reality of it is it's focused on a lot of things that we don't control.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets us in a headspace of like, all right, like my life isn't good enough, or I'm not in the place I need to be. And not only that, I can't change it because of all these things that I can't control. And the reality of it is to bounce out of that, you got to really start saying to yourself, all right, what can I control? You can't control what you're exposed to. You can't control, you know, understanding the messaging that you're getting. And you can control really the actions that you take and how you respond to things. And so being able to even shift into the mindset of there are things that I can and can't control. You know, how do I focus on the ones I can?
Mm-hmm. Which is a much more empowering thought.
Yeah.
And what I heard you say is, I think there is this like tendency to promote us toward a response of comparison, to say, oh, if so-and-so has this, I should have this. And if I don't, I'm less than. And that comparison thing, it just robs us, right?
It does.
Of all of the joy, of all of the meaning. And I'm thinking about even other cultures that I've experienced who literally have nothing. You know, I've been to Africa, and being around people in that context where they don't have those resources, and yet they have the gratitude, the joy, what appears to be an abundance like state of being. And so how to make sense of that? It's like, well, to me, it is all about the mind and your internal sense of yourself and being in touch with your values more so than what society is telling you should be, which I know in our culture is really hard to turn off, given that we're in front of the screen all the time with all of these messages that are telling us otherwise. But I think it's important to get a broader perspective and see, like, that's not what this is about, right? It's accessible to anybody.
Yeah, and I think the difficult thing is that you're talking a little bit about competition versus collaboration. And I'm sure when you were in Africa and you saw those communities, like, it was all about community and collaboration. And really, that's how we move our society forward. And once again, we're in a world where they've created this isolation. They've created this competitiveness where in our minds, focusing on that's really going to hold us back from, you know, the things we can control, but also going to hold us back from the community that we need to move forward. It's going to hold us back from, you know, imagining, envisioning the things that we want to get to. it's going to hold us back ultimately from taking action and getting to the goals that are really important to us.
Yes. And I think you and I both know as coaches, like, one of the things that keep people stuck is the feeling of I don't have control, or that victim mentality of, like, you know, helplessness, all of that. And so we have to be able to supersede the messages, the ways that we're conditioned to think and behave in order to arrive at this more liberating place in life.
Yeah.
So I think it's really good to not just look at from a personal level, but also from a cultural level to see what's going on beyond me that's influencing me in this way, you know, holding me back. So we talked a little bit about what does a scarce mindset look like. What would you say are some of the markers of an abundant mindset? And I know we've touched on some of them, but...
Yeah, so when I think about an abundant mindset, it's more of the thought process of, well, first off, like, all right, I know that there are things I can control and things that I can't. Here are the things I'm going to focus on. Here are the things that I'm going to move forward. Here are the things that are important to me. And then ultimately... You know, there is a feeling that's associated with fulfillment and success. And the challenge of it is that, you know, we need to be able to feel that feeling before we even get there. Mm. And I even talk to my clients about this. Mm-hmm. It's, we've got to have that feeling of fulfillment first. It's all about law of attraction. Mm. I mean, ultimately, if we can get to that feeling... You know, and I think it's a lot to do with gratitude. I want to touch on that for a minute, because no matter what you accomplish in your life or what you have, if you're not grateful for it, how can you ever appreciate it?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so it's taking a step back and I think saying, okay, here are the things I appreciate. And once again, it's thinking about gratitude, feeling the gratitude, but also expressing that mm-hmm. gratitude, that shifts us out of this scarcity. And I think that's the first step to really take to be able to do
that. Yeah. Yes. And I think that is what I experienced in Africa, in these shacks, places where people had nothing, is like they felt so grateful for the little that they had. And that to me is like where you arrive at the goal in life. You know, because I know millionaires who are miserable. They've attained success and yet they're empty inside. And so it just kind of puts you in touch with the essence of like living and the quality of life that I think we all want to have. I would say, too, one of the other things is, you know, having a curious posture in life, like not saying I know everything or it's this or that, but to approach it with this. What can I learn from this thing here? Even if it's a hard thing, to turn that into an opportunity. There's something about that it creates this like force field around you where nothing can take you down. Nothing can destabilize your sense of self-worth if you're always looking for the lesson in all of it and saying, I'm curious to know what's here to teach me. And so I think that can build upon the gratitude and just create a life where it's like full of meaning, regardless of what the circumstances are.
Yeah. And it's just having your ability to, we all get in this place where we start thinking in our head of, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I'm this, I'm that. Why would I do this? I don't understand why the people do this. To really shifting that to more of asking myself, how? Like, how do I do this? How do I take initial steps? Let's say I want to be more healthy, maybe mentally, spiritually, physically, you know. That would be the first question. How do I get into a more physically healthy space? And then I start asking questions, okay, well, that's something I want to accomplish. All right, so like, how do I take steps to get into that direction?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, okay, well, you know, I'm looking in the mirror and I'm not liking what I see and I'm stuck in this place and, you know, realistically shifting out of that once again from like, I'm this and I'm that, and saying, well, you know, how do I get into that place? And I'll tell you, what happens is this. It's not the end goal that gets you there. It's that journey of just getting slightly better every day. That is really the journey to getting to abundance.
Mm. 100%. Yeah, and keeping your focus on that versus the outcome. Not that you never look at the outcome, but to keep your attention on the becoming process. Like you said, the journey, what's happening here and now. What are my challenges teaching me? What am I receiving from all of it? And when you're like fully in it, then you don't go to the future. You don't go to the past. You're just here now,
yeah.
Like fully living, right?
Absolutely. Not only that, you know, when you start thinking about the how, sometimes we can't come to the answers of like how things are. We just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other people that have gone on that journey. There's other people that can speak to that journey that we can seek out. Once again, it's talking to that community and collaborating with people, that type of thing. And so I think in that whole process of that journey, it's like, all right, when you start focusing on, okay, I'm grateful to be on this journey. Once that shift of focus goes there, ultimately, the worry starts to lessen. You know, now you've mm-hmm. got a plan in place that you're taking steps towards.
Mm-hmm.
The anxiety starts to lessen, you know, because you are taking these small steps in the right direction. And quite frankly, some of these things are very, very difficult, and they take a lot of small steps. And some steps are back, some steps mm-hmm. are forward.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can continue to focus on, okay, I know that I'm taking small steps. Here are the steps I'm taking. I'm going to take them.
Yes. Yeah. And it puts you in that driver's seat to where it's like you are in control of some things, or you are affecting change.
Yeah.
And that has a high payoff, you know? And it just builds upon itself in confidence and like assuredness of who you are. So I do think there's all these connecting points to this mindset. And I'm wondering, like, what would you say if somebody said, well, this is just for privileged people. Like,
yeah.
We all don't have access to this. It's for those who have had an easy, comfortable life, or things have been handed to them, the prosperity message. Do you agree with that, or what would you say?
So, it's interesting. You know, I've got a pretty big circle of friends and family that kind of come from all different walks of life. And I think sometimes we make assumptions of what's inside other people's heads. So even though you're in this like prep, you view somebody and they've got the big house and the cars and mm-hmm. whatnot, you know, but the reality of it is that I've seen people that are 100 times more fulfilled who don't have those things. And what they have been able to do is I think they've been able to shift their perspective and focus on the things that are truly important to them. Whether it's, you know, someone that's privileged or not privileged, your ability to shift that focus, I think, is important. I'll give you an example. I read this story about there were these men that were in a concentration camp, and they were able to survive and get through that experience because they shifted their thoughts to them being able to tell their story afterwards. And so their mind was more focused on, all right, I'm experiencing and I'm suffering right now, but I'm gaining a lot of meaning out of this, and I'm going to be able to pass that meaning forward. And so it just goes to show that we're all in these really hard circumstances, and don't take for granted that, you know, when you look at someone and you might see them in a circumstance where you don't think it should be hard for them, it may be the most difficult situation for them than you've ever experienced. You just don't know that. Mm-hmm. And I think when you start talking about privilege, can privilege Can it make things easier sometimes? Yeah, absolutely. But I think at the end of the day, does it make you more fulfilled? No, I don't think that's the secret sauce, or I don't think that's the key ingredient to, you know, the life we lead.
Happiness, yeah. I fully agree. And it's such an encouraging message because it's available to everyone, you know? And kind of like what you're talking about with the concentration camp, that reminds me of Viktor Frankl, who's somebody I've studied for a long time. And he had a similar experience where, you know, he concluded that every freedom externally that we have can be taken away, and yet you still always have access to an internal freedom to choose how you want to see, how you want to make meaning, what you want to be grateful for. Like, nobody can ever take that away from you. And what a liberating thought, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a perfect example of somebody who was the least privileged of all, and yet still rose above that, and I think accessed what we would call an abundance mentality.
Yeah. We live in the freest country in the world.
Right.
I'd consider. And we have individuals, and I think more so nowadays through the pandemic we just went through, that feel isolated and entrapped inside of their own heads than we ever have. And, you know, until we start taking steps of realizing, okay, this is something I can control. You know, I can control what I think, how I feel, what I do, what actions I take. Now, you know, it might not be day one that you can jump yourself out of that isolation and anxiety. It takes work and time, but once again, it goes back to that journey. So, you know, when it comes to the perspective of being privileged and not privileged, I think it comes down to, you know, what we have going on in our own head and what we think and feel and do.
And I would add to that, what is the whole basis and premise of this podcast is the antidote to what you just described is connection, right? To the self, to
absolutely
other people, to the natural world. I think that's what these other cultures have attained. And when that's lost for the sake of the pursuit of money or success or accolades, then you reap the consequences of that isolation, of the depression. And so I think, yeah, when we can come into those places where we feel connected, that's where the quality of life starts to show itself.
Yeah, and the good news is that we all have the power as human beings to make that shift. No matter where we're at in our life, we have the power to do that. That's the good news. You know, it's the challenge is really of saying, okay, I know that I have these things in my life that may not be healthy for me. You know, how do I shift into more healthy routines, habits, exposure, you know, more healthier relationships, you know, those types of things? Because, you know, it's easy to want to make the change, but the challenge becomes when the change starts to happen and taking the small steps. Mm-hmm. You know, you just got to tell yourself, all right, this is the right thing to do. I need to start making this change. And I'll tell you, if you make that decision, that's when you change your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it in so many people. And it's just once they have that aha moment of like, I can change and I can make the life I want to make. And, you know, it's a really cool thing to see.
Yeah, it's so freeing. You just answered the question I was about to ask, which was, what would you say to someone who feels insecure, or they're in that scarce mindset, or they feel like they're not enough? Is it just a matter of like knowing I actually have control? I can do these small things.
Absolutely. We all have the power to do it. I think it really starts with what you alluded to earlier. It's just, how do we communicate with ourselves and with others? You know, and we have this dialogue in our head, and really shift the first thing I would say is just start to shift that dialogue and telling yourself, I have the power to make this change. All right, now how do I do it?
Mm-hmm.
you know, and that I think is, if you can get even to that place, I think that's the place where you start making progress.
Yes. And I would add to that, like, if you don't know how to find support, absolutely, right? Find people who are already doing it, who have services to offer, or guidance, or a mentor, somebody who can show up to you, because that's how we interdepend on each other and how we grow alongside each other.
Absolutely. Right?
Okay, well, this has been a fantastic conversation, and I want to ask you two questions that I ask all my guests before we sign off. First one is, what are you up to today that has you excited?
So I currently, we were talking about this earlier, but I have an executive coaching business. So, you know, I've been taking on new clients this year. So really focused on, I get so ecstatic about these aha moments that mm-hmm. people have,
mm-hmm.
Especially in the space of like, hey, I want to change my career. I want to progress in my, you know, current company. You know, I want to start a small business. You know, I want to grow that small business. I mean, those types of things, I've been really focused on with my clients. So, it's one of those things. I'm so grateful for the individuals that I work with. Realistically, they're the ones that do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I'm up to today.
Well, it is exciting. I'm with you. Like, being a coach and watching people grow and change and getting to witness that and be a part of it is like...
Yeah, it's a cool thing.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So... You don't have to explain too much to me on that one. Okay, and the second one is, how can people get in touch with you or any of your content?
Yeah, so everything's linked through my website. So it's ericmichael.com. So ericmichael.com. So it has all my socials and my website and that type of thing. So feel free to check it out.
Okay, well, I'll definitely link that in the show notes so that people can reach out to you if they feel so inclined. And truly, Eric, it has been such a pleasure to have you in this conversation, hearing your story, your thoughts and insights about what it means to tap into this way of seeing and living that, to me, is the essence of living a really high quality of life. And I just think it's so fun to have a dialogue with someone about the world, imagining the world that we can live in, where it's based in trust over fear. So I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for having me on. This is, it's a fun experience, and I'm grateful for it. And hopefully this brings more abundance to you know, the people we connect with. So.
I feel very certain of that. So everyone, I invite you to check out Eric on his website. And in the meantime, I encourage you to imagine the possibility that there is more than enough, perhaps even more than you thought, as you enter a new reality full of abundance. If this episode resonated with you, I have something you are going to love. As you may know, part of what helps me live connected to myself is embracing a life full of pleasure and adventure. Building a coaching business centered on pleasure has sparked many of my clients to their own success while offering me the purpose of getting to do what I love every day. If you're curious about what it means to add more excitement in your life, I have a free resource for 5 ways to cultivate pleasure to give you simple steps to start walking you toward a life that feels so good. I'll link it in the show notes, so definitely check it out if you're interested. I'm so glad you joined us, and remember to stay connected.